the best of Kennedy Malloy. And the best barbecue known to man is a Cross Range. See the range at Harvey Norman. Cross Range! Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Australia. Yes. Welcome to the Big Tuesday show of Kennedy Malloy.
Welcome to Sausage Roll Gate.
Well, I'm not convinced.
Heads will roll.
No,
heads
I'm not convinced.
Will roll.
We'll explain what happens. Mick's not been well overnight, so we'll get to the bottom of that.
Thanks a lot, Whitney.
No. Aww. No, we're not going to do that.
I'm telling you.
Let's move on. Speaking of food.
What else could it be?
You look terrible, by the way.
You do. Look at you.
You're
disheveled.
No.
Are you all right?
What are you talking about?
You okay?
What's wrong with me?
Can you hear us?
No.
Your headphones working?
No, they're not working.
We need Mickey's headphones fixed.
Yeah, somebody.
Well, look, they just don't.
If he plugged it in.
Okay, I'm going to talk through what we're going to be talking about. Speaking of food.
Come here.
Cadbury Roses. Cadbury Roses are going to change their selection. And Australia's not happy about it.
Oh, good for you.
Neither is Mick.
Oh, well.
How you sorted there?
No, just
did you know that Roger Federer speaks 8 languages, Dave?
What?
Yes.
He's a cheat and a nerd.
He's not a cheat and a nerd.
He's a catch.
He's
a big catch. And he's a lovely man.
All right. What else we got? Scott Pape will be on board with his brand new book.
This is really, really cool. This is the book he's written about for families and how to give advice to your kids. With
best-selling author.
That and so much more. We'll get through the whole lot. What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know.
There's not a lot to do when you're starting a radio show. I would have thought you got some headphones and a microphone. Is the microphone working?
Yeah, I can hear.
And no idea what's going on with the headphones.
Why don't you try the next mic while we get ourselves sorted?
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to?
No,
you
I'm
can move
sit over here.
One step.
Can you hear me from here?
Well, just. Sadly, yes.
Now, don't take it out on me.
Well, I've had a rough night and I haven't had a lot of sleep and
can we just, I'll take you everyone through.
It's someone's fault in this room or out there or possibly my mum's, I don't know.
Anyone but yours, is that what
anyone
you're saying?
Anyone but yours. Whitney put in some sausage rolls.
To cheer you and me up because our football teams lost spectacularly on the weekend.
Yeah, well, she slipped something in the sausage rolls.
No, they are.
I've been up
well,
all
I
night.
Ate one and I'm fine.
Well, I went and cooked mine in the oven.
Okay, let's just rewind. I'm sure everyone will want to know this, but I'm going to take them through it. When Mick left the station last night in a nice Tupperware container, he had about 42 sausage rolls that he was going to eat for dinner.
Excuse me?
12's a lot.
They were 12. And when you say sausage rolls, they're not proper sausage rolls. They're those tiny little,
party ones.
Okay, so you had 12, I had one. There's the ratio we're working with. So when you were leaving, you said to me, I'm going to cook the sausage rolls. Well, how do I cook them? What temperature? I said, 12 minutes.
At 180.
At 180 degrees.
Yeah, well.
All right.
Was that a practical joke or was that something?
Let's fast forward to about 7:20 p.m. when the first WhatsApp photo arrives and it's a tray filled with blackened sausage rolls. And it says.
Charred's the word you're looking for. Incinerated.
Yeah. Incinerated.
Beyond recognition. If you were an investigative teen, you'd have to get that down and
the coroner.
CSI.
The coroner.
All right, so this is from Mick, and he says, yum, 12 minutes at 180 degrees, my ass.
So with the charred sausage rolls on display, 12 of them.
Well, then we are all in conversation. James says, this is astounding. And I said, you've probably put the griller on.
Oh, Jane, what do you think? I'm an idiot.
Yes, and of course, let's fast forward. Mick Malloy says, make sure you include that tip in your next stupid cookbook.
As you can see, I'm taking it well at this stage. Yeah.
And I say, oh, fair point, chapter one, how to use your oven. Then we get into it a bit more. Dave chips in. Those chops look delicious, Mick.
Good on you, Dave. Great input.
Quite crispy.
Crying emoji from me, crying emoji, et cetera. Yeah. Sam up EP says, this is brilliant. Mick Malloy says, I'm really hungry. And then the next picture, he's eaten all but two. And it says, they weren't too bad.
I had a go. I didn't die wondering. I scraped the charcoal-y bits off and popped them like
Maltesers. This is sad. Did you have sauce?
I didn't have time for sauce. The clock was ticking.
James says, remember to turn off the oven, which is a fair point. Whitney chips in. Mick, my poor sausage rolls.
Yeah, well, those things.
Do you need me to Uber over leftovers? Then the next picture Mick sends
to finish
in
me off.
Is a piece of cheese.
Oh, yeah.
With mould all on it. And you're
horrific.
Like, hungry again. Ugh. Thought I'd rustle up some cruscuts and cheese slices.
Which I have for the boys.
This was a bad sign, the mould.
The mould is covered in, the cheese is covered in mould. Yeah. So I can't go the cruscut cheese slice option.
This is so sad. Yeah. You are eating cruscuts.
Then
and
I have
cheese.
A brainstorm.
You said no freezer, because I asked him if he's got something in the freezer, which was a bit optimistic. He said, but I do have this. Who's laughing now? And I swear to God, we'll put this on our website.
Yeah.
It's a jar of Vegemite Cheesy Bite.
Cheesy Bite.
What are you, 10?
Yeah. How old are you?
Well, if I'm 10, I think that jar was 10.
I said check the use-by date.
You said check the use-by date.
And you did. And you said, uh-oh, March the 14th, 2018.
Oh.
I've just wolfed 6 pieces. Mum's going to get a rocket for this.
Your mum?
Mum's going to get a rocket. Oh. Well, she's the one who brought that to my attention.
Then it goes on and on. Really, it's ridiculous. And now you say you felt, you said, okay, I've been on the toot all night. Not convinced it's not the sausage rolls. You are.
Now, and when I came in, Dave, were you a bit queasy?
Yeah, a little bit.
You were a little queasy.
That's not true.
And Marshy was queasy
that's
as well.
That's not true.
Everyone
Why
ate
aren't
the sausage.
Why aren't I
queasy? You know, Iron Guts Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, well, that's fair enough.
You're like an incinerator.
Mick and I are both 50-50 for the show.
How dare you? Not a flipping incinerator. I'm just
hard. Bit. Here's the other bit,
harden
though.
Harden up.
Because when I opened the oven door.
Oh, yes.
All the
Smoke
came billowing out instead of a smoke.
Hence. I'm suggesting.
Here's what?
You had the griller on because there's no way you can burn sausage rolls if you have them in an oven for 12 minutes at 180.
I blame Whitney, who's making it. You know what? She's like the lead character in Sweeney Todd. You know the woman who killed people and put their body parts into pies?
I've just discovered that. That is ridiculous.
Soylent Green. Soylent Whitney.
No, she's fine. We've got to move on because, honestly, this is really going to be
We just posted those pictures, by the way. Have a look at Instagram
at Kennedy
Malloy.
This man is a grown-up.
Have a look at
He has children. He burns sausage rolls. He set the fire alarm off.
I still don't feel good. And then I came in and had 2 Tim Tams.
Well, I'm going to blame the Cheesy Mite, the use-by date. And then we were talking, everybody's got some use-by date.
Go and have a look. What's the oldest thing in your fridge? I bet you you're surprised.
Or in your cupboard.
Or your cupboard.
Yeah, your pantry.
Go and have a look at some of those jars of chutney or Thai green curry paste.
You go and
get
have
back
a look
to
in
me.
Our,
and tandoori paste.
In our radio station kitchen.
Oh, good luck.
Give us a call on 133353.
I like it.
Give us a ring. We're here thanks to Crossray Barbecues. The only barbecue you'll ever need is a Crossray. That's what you should have put the sausage rolls on. See the range at Harvey Norman.
Yeah, they wouldn't burn in that.
That's it.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Mick's a bit 50-50 for the show. We need you to hang in there, Mick.
I've been winged. I've been taken down by friendly fire. I.e. Whitney's.
No, don't you blame Whitney.
It may have
Her
been...
sausage rolls are legendary.
They are.
Well, they were delicious.
Yeah, legendary down at the coroner's office.
I tell you, you get sick a lot from food.
You do.
You've got a very poor resistance.
Because I've got a precious little system.
You have got a precious little... doesn't stop you from...
Little.
Having a little...
hey, Dave.
Oh, quick, duck for cover.
I'm in the room, mate.
Sorry.
He's not in the mood
today,
trust
It's either that or it's
me.
The cheesy mite. It's either the cheesy mite, which was out of date. Thanks a lot, Mum. Well, I've got to clean out my own fridge now. Oh, by the way, the other thing it could be is the fridge is not working properly. So not only do I not have a freezer, but my fridge is keeping things kind of lukewarm.
What? Okay. What do you mean? You're not in your milk?
Well, yeah, which is why I didn't have any cereal last night.
Why?
Because the milk's got larger bits in it.
Cereal last night. Okay. Well,
sorry, do we need to have intervention?
I have
or something?
A cold fridge downstairs, but it's got all my beer in it. It's not like I'm going to remove that.
I'm glad you got your priorities right. That's very important. But people, you know, if you go to cupboards and you go to fridge, you might find
something
weird.
Out, like it's some kind of lucky dip.
Aaron's on the line, and he has quite an unusual story to tell. Aaron, what did you eat?
Oh, well, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, good.
Good, mate.
Look, we all sat round. Dad got us round for a family dinner a few years back, and we all sat down. We had a nice family roast. Once we were all done, he decided to tell us that he pulled it out of the bottom of the chest freezer, and it was 8 years old.
Oh, man.
Oh,
now, if it's frozen properly, is that an issue?
According to my old man, it isn't. He uses the old, they dig up ice, you know, ice elephants and mammoths.
Yeah, but they don't eat them. They're going to barbecue a woolly mammoth.
Your old man is using the woolly mammoths.
Wow.
No one got sick, though, so now he hangs his hat on the fact that you can put anything in a freezer.
What else has he got down there?
I don't ask now.
They were pretty spooky, the old upright. I mean, so those freezer chests. I can't, a lot of houses now, you can't fit them because no one's got a kitchen big enough to have one.
I saw a lot of those in Dexter.
I've always thought, in fact, I thought once we had hidden body parts in ours.
Bang, put some ice cream on top
of it. Thanks, Aaron. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are we?
Yeah, what'd you find in your cupboard that you reckon might be a little on the old side?
I found some Panadol. Expiry date, 1993.
I'll give that a burl. That'll be the good stuff.
That actually has got everything in it.
Increasingly getting worse and worse and taking all the active ingredients out.
Go and take some. Go to a nightclub.
I'll buy those off you for $100.
Well, it was actually funny. I actually popped it open and I thought, oh, I have a squeeze. And actually dust came out of it. I thought, yeah, probably not a good idea.
You should have one which will give you a headache and then take one from 2018 to get rid of it. See, so let them duke it out.
Yeah.
The good Panadol versus evil Panadol.
Yes. Sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
I wouldn't mind a Barocca. Can someone get me a Barocca?
We offered you a Barocca about an hour ago.
I said no.
You said no. Now you want one. Hello, Lainey.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm really good. What'd you find in, was it your mum's cupboard?
Yeah, my mum's cupboard. When we moved into our new house about 5 years ago, I cleaned out the cupboard to obviously move all the food over.
Yeah.
And I found three jars and cans that expired in 91, so 3 years before I was even born.
Oh, no. Were they like cans of beetroot or tomatoes or chickpeas? That's what we generally have.
Pineapple rings.
Pineapple
rings. Baby carrots.
A jar of capsicum, one was a can of beans, and the other one was a can just with an expiry date. The label had come off, opened it, couldn't even tell what it was.
Oh, you got to keep that. Oh. Let's say one lucky winner gets to eat the contents. Oh. We have it.
Don, you're making me feel sick now. Thanks, Lainey. That is ridiculous. Mate, hello, Brett.
Beans would be no good either.
No, you're not having those. Hello, Brett.
Beans from 91.
Afternoon.
We were cleaning out our grandfather's cupboard, and we found a little thing of herbs, thyme it was, and it was used by 1979.
Not the old Master Foods thyme.
The old Master Foods
That'll still be good.
No, well,
I still kept it and put it in my cupboard so my grandkids will find it and go, well,
There's something where you're supposed to change herbs and spices every 6 months. That's the maximum. Did you know that?
What was dropped off in our office today? What did we? You had some equipment dropped off.
What was in those packages?
what was all that?
Something I've, you know how I order stuff online? I'll tell you the next break.
Lord.
Let's go to Trev. Hello, Trev.
Hey, how you going?
Good.
My mate, Michael, ate a plate of roast that he found in the fridge that had been sitting there for 3 months.
He was drunk, right?
No.
But did he live in a student house? Was it a share house or something?
Yeah, it was just sitting in there. So
3 months. No. He's had a crack. I know. He's come home late. He's had a big night. He doesn't have to. I mean, I've eaten braised beef from a service station.
Yeah, well, didn't go well, did it?
No,
for you?
It didn't.
No,
a touch
it's
of that.
A sad tale. Hello, Mash. How are you?
I'm well, guys.
Yeah.
Take my call.
No worries. Tell us what you found in your cupboard.
Well, like Aaron's dad, I decided to cook a lamb roast the other week and served it up with some mint sauce.
Ah, very good. The old mint sauce.
Oh,
yes. Lovely.
I love that. Lovely. Love a bit of that.
What was it like?
What? From 2011.
Okay, now
I reckon that would still be good.
I think it will be because it's vinegary based, so I sound like a cooking show person.
Cheesy bites.
Cheesy bites, but cheese, that's not
this would
good.
Be a good
Thanks,
app.
Matt.
This would
that
be good,
was funny.
A good app service or something, wouldn't it? Like you ring in and go.
Oh, will I get sick
or
not?
We could go to yours. Go, oh, I've just found some cheesy mite. It's 2012.
Ring me,
I don't know. Can I?
I'd love to answer those questions for people. Love it.
Let's do it.
Let's find out from Lauren.
Be me.
Hello, Lauren.
Hey, guys. How you going?
You found something in your grandma's cupboard.
Yeah, I was doing some baking and thought I better ring my grandmother and ask for some condensed milk. And when she pulled the can out, the expiry date was 1985.
Wow.
Dave, I think we have a winner.
I think we do.
Lauren, you're on the standby list to go see Slash in LA. Hollywood Palladium.
We're you can take your grandmother.
That was my first year at uni.
85. No kidding.
That's fine. I mean, condensed milk in itself is pretty whack as an ingredient, just saying.
Right, if you took that... from 85, that'll be like...
Well, but, know, like hardened.
LSD.
Yeah, it would be.
That's right.
Thank you, Lauren. You'd thanks for everyone.
Chipping dudes.
Oh, dear. You've got to clean your cupboards out and fridges right. at some stage, but don't rush
now,
into
you've
it.
Got another terrible food-related incident that you've come in banging on about today.
Can you remind me?
It's the Cadbury's roses.
Oh, yes.
Can we come back and talk about this?
Yes.
All right. Hold fire.
Anybody who loves the Cadbury roses, listen up. Sure. You might want to pull over.
All right.
You might want to sit down. There's big news.
Or you might want to go and pretend there's a hurricane coming and hoard the last of the Cadbury
roses.
You
might be doing that. I've got form in this department, trust me.
It's coming up.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We just thought we might take one more call because we were talking about use-by dates and things that people had found that were a bit old. Suzanne, can you tell us what happened to someone you know?
I still laugh. My old boss, he found a roast beef in his freezer that he knew that his mother had bought before she died, and he finally decided to cook it. But she had been dead for 20 years.
Stop it. My God.
But he didn't eat it, did he?
No. He gave it to the dogs, and the dogs were okay. But he wasn't going to eat it, but he didn't want to throw it away because he can't throw anything away.
Well, it reminded him of his...
dear old mum.
Dear old mum.
Suzanne, I think we might
have
to...
Sure, it wasn't his mum.
Suzanne, you're on the standby list to go to America to see Slash Play Live. Good luck.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a meat eater.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Now, what is wrong with you? You've came in here, you were harumphing around, you threw stuff around the office.
I sometimes get boxes of Cadbury roses because it's the easiest present people can give a mum.
That's a good Valentine's Day present from the lads.
It is. Thank you very much for doing the dishes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
You stop at the 7-Eleven on the way home, you blow the dust off the cover, you say how much, they overcharge you, you go home.
That's right.
And you
to be honest... There's really only two that I really liked in it all along.
Can I start?
Yeah.
Turkish Delight.
Yes.
You've got to have the Turkish Delight. Love. Yep.
And sort of a caramello one.
Caramello.
Yeah, okay. The sort of a soft caramel one thing inside.
Yeah.
So what's
happening?
They're getting rid of
what?
Some really revolting ones, like orange cream. Who has that? Oh, who has orange cream?
Don't mind a bit
do you know
of
anyone?
Cream.
So, you know, hazelnut whirl. Strawberry cream.
Strawberry cream. I beg your pardon. Haven't they had it hard enough, strawberries, without tossing them out of the Cadbury roses?
Well, they're getting rid of them.
Try sticking some needles into one.
And classic fudge.
Before you...
That was never anything.
Classic fudge.
It was a weird consistency. Anyway.
What about your cherry ripe?
No, cherry ripe is not in
Cadbury
roses.
Oh, pardon me. Oh, sorry for demarcation dispute. Oh, what, am I talking favourites now?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Jane.
Catch up
on sorry.
Your
chocolates. What are you, a stickler for a rules, eh?
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, I am.
Cross me when it comes to cherry ripe. You put them in anything.
Listen, you're in a bad mood, so get out of it.
Well, so hazelnut's gone.
So they're
what
making,
are they being replaced with?
They're being replaced with. Are you ready for white chocolate lovers?
Mm. Oh, I'd like white chocolate.
Yeah, white chocolate with freeze-dried raspberries.
Oh, no, 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 no,
yeah, that sounds pretty good.
No.
They're also giving it an update with a hard caramelly chocolate. It's a bit tougher. Do you know what I mean?
What, an old toffee, the old toothbreaker.
Yeah, toothbreaker. Yeah, love those.
The old something just happened in my mouth and I don't think it was good.
And a peppermint cream.
What's that?
Oh, that's my filling.
As your tongue does a stock take. Oh, no. Mayday, missing. Third quadrant.
And there's also the peppermint's being replaced with a peppermint
crunch.
You
need some peppermint in there.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a little crunchy, and they're keeping Turkish like. But here's other big news that they're doing.
Twist. Why don't they put a little peppermint twist in it?
Because that's not what it does. It's a different company that makes it for a start.
Well, I might sit in on the next meeting.
For God's sake, it's not the same company.
Why can't they make me one of the test case? I'm sure
a lot of women would like to be the test cases. Mm. Here's one other thing. You know how it had the little twisty wrapper?
I said the Tesco should be depressed women.
I'm a step ahead of you. I'm the one who said it.
I
said women should be the testers.
I said depressed women.
Well, I just implied women who love cats and are depressed.
What are you saying? All women are depressed?
Yep, they are.
Well, they are listening
to put up
this.
With a lot.
Women have, no, they have to sit there and watch daytime TV and pop them.
Yeah, because that's what women do
all
day.
That's the ultimate test.
Oh, we love our daytime TV and eating chocolates.
Let
me get my little cat on my lap and just...
I think you're the one who brought this topic to the table,
aren't
you?
Let me just do some crochet.
Did anyone giggle huffy about the Cadbury roses?
Because I was the one that was already going women first.
Oh, okay. Okay. You realise we're on air right now, don't you?
I do. I was trying to talk about the twisty wrappers that they're changing. Okay.
What's happened there?
They're making them just solid wrappers.
You know what they should do? They should have solid wrappers.
They should have.
You are going to knife him in a minute.
They should have the solid wrappers.
You are going to run a knife through him.
I mean, the twist. The
This is the only day I wish we had a camera in here.
Oh my God!
In fact, I think we need to put a camera in here every day now, because I'm feeling frustrated.
Jane, hang in there.
I will.
Only an hour and a half to go.
That was just about.
And what else?
That's it.
Oh, is that it? Is that all you got on the?
All right. There's going to be a walkout in a minute.
Okay, that could have taken my eye out.
You need a cup of tea and just a lie down.
You know, I want some Cheesy Mite. Cheesy Mite Cruskets.
Dave, can you take over?
Yeah, we'll go to a song. We'll come back, have a bit of a reset. Things will be good right after this. We trust us. Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Are you depressed right now?
This is Kennedy Molloy.
I am, actually.
This is Kennedy Molloy. Your new way to drive home.
Roger Federer has been in Europe at the moment. Team Europe has... with the Laver Cup, the squad Laver Cup.
Oh, okay.
And he's like the team leader of Team Europe.
Easy.
And they won. But
did they cheat? Because Rogers, as we know, is possibly the
never been proven.
Mickey, you've got to be very careful, really.
Well, when I say cheat, but he manipulates the rules. Like, for example, if they get deep into a fifth set and he's getting beaten, he loses three games in a row, he takes like a medical break and goes, has a shower, comes out and restarts the game, which is not in the spirit of it.
He doesn't do that all the time.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't like it. It's classic Swiss operating procedure. Right. You know what I mean?
Do you prefer Tomic's style?
I do.
I know you don't believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what has been interesting.
He won a cow. It's never been the same since he won that cow.
This is what's interesting about this and impressive. Mm-hmm. And even you're going to have to be impressive with this.
Yes.
Did you know that Roger speaks eight languages?
Wow.
Eight what languages.
He's a nerd.
He's not a nerd. Why are you a nerd if you speak eight languages?
Because you sit at home and you do nothing.
You travel the world and you become bilingual because you're educated and you just have to step up and speak.
You spend more time like Tiger Woods. If you're going to be the best in your field, you need to.
I've got something to play about Tiger Woods.
Write it down.
I
need to point.
Okay, so Roger Federer is doing some on-court coaching.
What's he doing?
To the world number five, Alexander Zverev, who's German.
Or he's had too much to drink.
And
A speech impediment. Does
have
he have a speech impediment? Zverev. No. What's his name?
Zverev. And have a listen how Roger coaches him on court.
Du musst schon ein bisschen ins Risiko gehen, aber eben, durch das musst du durch. Und du musst wissen, wann du wie viel geben musst. Und er kann nicht besser spielen, er spielt ein Kram momentan. Und bleib einfach ruhig. Lass diese anderen nicht hier von dir Energie rauben und...
Okay, that's him speaking German. Wow.
It'd be more impressive if that was him playing the music in the background.
I don't know why Zilbert the Greek was playing.
It was rocking it for me. hang on a second. What are you saying? Because he can speak German.
He can speak.
We know all the relationship between the Swiss and the German.
Well, he speaks Swiss German.
He would have learned from his parents, who are probably,
all right.
Probably.
No.
No, because I'll tell you exactly because you're wrong. Ba-bow. His mother's actually South African, so he speaks Afrikaan.
He speaks English with a South African accent.
No, he doesn't.
Right.
He speaks Swiss German, French, German, Italian, Spanish, English, Swedish, and Afrikaan. There you go.
Can he speak Pig Latin?
I've a guy, Dove a guy, and think we can keep you coming in.
Yeah, how dare you? You can't say that. Dump that. Dave, dump it.
No, you can't. I don't dump it.
I think I caught it. Not sure.
You ever talk to me like that again in... What's it? Is it Pig Latin?
Uvagoo.
Uvagoo.
I have no idea what's happening. What was that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Ave Day.
Yeah. Don't go back to it? All right. Are we done?
Your new way to drive home.
Lost it over here. Novigo, Yvigo, Bavini, Kavigo, Vigo, Tidvu, David A, Havigas, Beavergin, Sovigo, Divigas, Graceful, Thevigat, Ivigo, Wilgil, Havgaf, Tidvu, Beavergin. Actually, I've got to have a go.
What's happening?
My penis is large.
That was one of the most. That was an unnecessary
what?
Spray.
What? Did you just say?
I don't know.
Seriously.
What is wrong with you,
did you say?
There's nothing wrong with me, and everyone I know who goes to school with me is texting me and saying they understand what it means.
In that language?
Yes.
Is that your own language?
Oogadoo, boogadoo.
Oogadoo. It's not that hard to work out. What's wrong with you all?
I know what's going on.
What?
I bet you, ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
What's that mean?
No, don't start, Dave.
Oh, I feel like I'm out of the club.
Hey, not in front of our next guest.
Yes, listen
here they
up.
Come.
We love catching up with supercar driver Dave Reynolds because, like us, he doesn't take his job too seriously.
I wish I grew up in, like, the 70s and 80s. I think they used to come in and get a pit stop and, like, have a cigarette and a can of Coke and then go back out again.
That was why they came in. Yeah. Stretch the legs, have a fag.
The good old days.
Going again.
And we love Dave's girlfriend, Tahan Lou Fat, because she doesn't take him too seriously.
What are you doing?
Taking selfies.
Yeah.
So I'm not allowed to take selfies because it's annoying me.
I just hate it every 2 seconds.
I don't do it every 2 seconds, though.
And most couples do this, don't they?
If I'm hugging him, he'll just let one rip on me. Like, he won't turn.
Please welcome back Dave Reynolds and Tahan Lou Fat.
Hey, Tahan, it sounds like you put up with as much as I put up with in the studio every day. Yeah. Is that what it's like?
Dave makes me feel better about myself.
Does Mick let run rip on
you? Oh, well, he's never done it in
never
the studio.
Never put my finger in the studio, Dave.
No, we're not at that stage.
I wouldn't do it today.
No.
There's been trouble brewing downstairs in the old gasometer.
Oh, my apologies.
Hi, Tahan, how are you?
I'm good.
We spoke to you. We'll get you in a second, Dave. We spoke to you recently. You're in New Zealand and you're preparing for your first ever fight.
Yes,
I am. How's it going? This is women's boxing?
Yes. I've progressed. I think I've gotten a little bit better, more confident. I had a sparring session with David in the ring yesterday or last night.
Was that scheduled or did he just, just annoy you? Or?
Just impromptu, yeah.
Yeah.
Dave's going. This is what I worry about with women's boxing. Mm-hmm. Look, women do tend to lie about their weight. And I just want to make sure that at the weigh-in you're doing the right thing.
Yep.
And also, if you win a belt, it's going to have to match your shoes, isn't it? Or you're going to get really upset.
Well, my first question was, can I pick my uniform? Do I have to? Can I wear earrings? And everyone's just like blank face.
Can
like,
I wear
is
earrings?
Is this chick for real? Yeah, like, do you want to get stabbed? I'm like, I don't know.
Is this chick for real? Yeah. Do men come in the ring to sort of do what rounds are?
Well, male ring boys.
Yeah.
You could do the lot as a former good girl. You could actually fight. That's true. And then between rounds, let us know what round it is.
I did actually say I wanted the same uniform. As ring girls, but like the same colour, not the actual style. Wow. And that they all were like, you want to show your butt cheeks off? I'm like, you're not paying me.
May I ask a question? Because
if you do, your opponent will try and do like the speedballs.
That's something that I'm worried about is your beautiful face.
What's
going to happen to that?
Yeah, Dave, he could take it.
You know, what's the risk? Do you wear a
we
helmet?
We have a full head mask. But I'm training to not get hit.
Yes.
I'm training to hit, not get hit.
But in the ring when you fight, will you have a head mask? Dave, what's your policy on this? Did you miss a meeting? Did this happen while you were in Darwin or something?
Not happy, mate.
Happened? So how did Tahan break it to you that she was going to just kind of...
How did you? I don't even know.
How were you introduced to it for a start?
Well, I was training with the Team Ellis boys with my girlfriend Kelly, who was actually one of the ring girls.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, you'd be so good at this because we were training. And I was like jokingly going, I'd do it. And then the boys kind of talked me into it, and a few training sessions later, you get like, you know, that little ego boost. You're like, oh my God, I'm so good, I can go pro now. So it kind of turned from a joke to now it's serious.
She's really competitive but doesn't understand the limit.
Hey.
Have you got the... I was going to say, do you have a first fight coming up or something? Or have we got to work towards that?
Yeah, so it's the 13th of October.
13th of October.
A few weeks out.
If you could fight a celebrity, who would you fight?
That's a good question.
Women? That's a good question.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Olympic champion.
He was an Olympian.
Yeah, steady on.
Yeah.
You know what I thought? If you have a victory, like a shoey, you could do a glovey. You
yeah,
could
that's a good idea.
And drink out of the...
You've really been thinking about this. That's very good.
I will do that. If I do win, I will do that.
You'll do a glovey?
Yeah, oh, that'd absolutely, be great.
Mick. Sounds
Dave,
good.
What have you been doing while all this is happening? You've been, what did you do? Did you choke at Sandown?
A little happened? Bit, yeah. We started on the pole.
You started on pole?
We started first and
I thought I was laying big money down. And I go, my mate Dave's on here. He's been on all. He's cherry ripe. He's in pole position. What could go wrong? And I don't know. You may as well have gone through the drive-thru.
Just ignore him, Dave. He's a bit cranky today.
Well, someone spiked his food, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he's not happy.
Yeah, Whitney out there. If Whitney offers you anything from her platter, do not touch it. Unless you want to lose some weight before you. If you need,
it's got
if
nothing.
You need to lose weight for a weigh-in, Tahan.
Seriously, though.
Yeah, see Whitney.
It's got nothing to do with the weekend while you're sick.
Oh, how dare you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, that one came back across the net with a bit of mayo. Hey, I've got to ask, are you getting nervous as the rain, because it was like Richmond with the reigning premiers, you are the reigning king of Bathurst.
Oh, no, yeah, it's
and
it's
you've got
scary.
A couple of weeks, how many, two, is it two?
It's not this weekend,
yeah,
it's next
October
weekend.
4 to
That's
7.
That's what I look forward to now. Yep. Forget the, I'm not going to watch the grand final next week. I'm going to watch the NRL grand final and then Bathurst is now going to set... For my big day. How are you tracking for that?
Yeah, I'm going good, mate. Yeah. A little bit nervous, but it's all tracking well.
How do you train for something like that?
Yeah, just watch videos and so
do
I watched
really?
The race from last year. Yeah,
really?
Watch all the in-car stuff and, and try and familiarise yourself with the track because it's the only track you sort of turn up to and you know you can actually have a big shunt and hurt yourself.
Right.
So
isn't there a game for that? Don't they have a Bathurst
There's games, yeah.
simulator?
But it's not as fun.
Oh, yeah, like, oh, because you do the real thing.
Yes.
It's much better.
What's wrong with you today?
No, I know. I'm just saying that sometimes pilots train with an airline simulator. I'm just thinking maybe,
we've got them.
It's fun, but eventually you've got to fly a plane.
Sure. I know that bit eventually happens.
He's just really bad at the simulator.
Yeah,
I'm really bad
at them.
So oh, so bad. There's a backstory, really. Yeah. See? I'm more investigative than you thought.
There's a young kid in our team who sort of runs a simulator and he pumps me. Like, he's seconds faster than me and I can't even do it.
Oh, hold that thought. Are you happy to hang around? Do you mind if we hang around?
We'll
have a quick chat with you before we see you out there. All right.
All right, Dave Reynolds is with us with Tahan Lou Fat. By the way, you can watch Bathurst next weekend on Network 10.
Next weekend?
Yeah, not this weekend, next weekend.
Yeah. I always get that confused too.
Yeah. More after this.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got Tahan Lou Fat and Dave Reynolds in studio as well.
We've been speaking to Tahan about her first fight. When is it? Is it
13th of October, Melbourne Pavilion.
At the Melbourne Pavilion, that's going to be
semi-main
great.
Semi-main event she is.
What music do you come into?
Yeah.
What are you coming into?
I haven't picked yet, but I really want, like... X going to give it to you, but change it to T's going to give it to you.
You had to think about
can
it.
You,
that's good.
Next time you come in,
we'll
do that? We'll get our listeners to come in and
pick us
I'll throw up some suggestions.
I've got an idea for you. If you wanted to go with
something you might want to hear. Don't do that. Dave puts that on in the bedroom when he's feeling frisky.
This is terrible.
That's the last thought you want in your
That'll
head.
That'll put you off your fight.
We move in. Hey, Dave, we're talking about Bathurst that's coming up. We had Craig Lowndes on the show. He's retiring. I'm guessing he's going to go. Bathurst will be the last, isn't it?
Is his last big hurrah.
Tell us what you think of his contribution to the sport has been.
Good question. He's like one of the last remaining legends, I think. He's been in the sport for 25 years.
He still seems pretty young to me, doesn't he?
How old would he be?
No, 40s. He's been 40s. Around.
No, I know he's been around, but he looks young. Mm. Looks good.
Yeah, he's all right.
I'm just sticking up for him. This is a bit of a hostile room.
Like you're about to crack onto him.
But like, as a young driver, everyone goes, you've got to model your life on Lowndesy. You know, he's the happy, go-lucky sort of loving person
positive.
That all the sponsors love. And
he's got a skeleton in the closet.
You think he's got a dark side?
That's very nice of you to say that about him because we asked him about you.
What did he say about
when
me?
When we came, he was talking about your sense of humour.
Yeah, have a listen.
I reckon you'll miss everyone except for maybe Dave Reynolds.
He's
just a giant dick. I mean, we've had him on here a couple of times.
Oh, look, he's funny. He's funny, but I was saying it. He's more funny when he's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
When he's throwing pot plants off podiums or trying to do a shoey.
Pot plants. That's pretty funny, throwing a pot plant off a podium.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. I think you'll ram
him. God's giving me a bad rap.
No, he loved you. He spoke very kindly.
No,
he wouldn't do that if he was not having fun with you.
That's easy.
He's,
right.
He's a good
you
fella.
Should,
good
you
guy.
Should shunt him from behind at the most dangerous part of the track.
No, I'm not like that. But he'll be sorely missed. He'll be very missed.
He will indeed.
Sounds like
How's Penrite travelling?
Penrite's a great sponsor, good oil. good, good class of oil. A better class of oil.
How's your boss going?
Betty's good. Yeah. Yes, she's had a leg op, so she's sort of sitting at home the last 4 weeks, I think. Oh. She can't put any weight on it for six weeks.
Is she allowed to not wear shoes?
Yeah. In the garage.
She doesn't like it. She wouldn't have to be wearing shoes if she's got a sore leg at the moment.
She hates it. Oh. She's big on OH&S.
All right, we'll give a shout out to Betty.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, Betty, what's going on? Tell us some good movies you've been watching.
Well, can we, will we see you before? And then when do you head up to Bathurst? Like, so obviously, this is the big, this is as good as
the grand final.
And you're defending champ.
It's the holy grail for us. I go to Sydney to do some stuff Monday, Tuesday, and then I drive up Tuesday night and be there Wednesday to Sunday.
What do you listen to in the car when you're driving up? Do you have some music on or do you?
Nothing.
No, I've been listening to Triple M. He doesn't listen to stuff with like lyrics. It's like.
No, I've been listening
like
to heaps of 80s lately.
If you were, I've never done drugs, but if you were on drugs, you'd listen to that. He shows me music. I'm like, what is this?
All right.
It sounds like the music you were playing, but is it a little bit like this?
Yeah.
There you go. That'll get you moving.
Don't let him choose the music that you come into the ring on.
Don't worry about that.
Can you come and see us before your fight, and we'll all sit down and try and work it out with the Triple M audience.
Yeah. Awesome.
Some slash. I'm getting waved off by Dave over here.
I don't know what to say.
It's going to be a quiet trip home in the car for these two. Thanks, Dave Reynolds.
No worries, thanks, guys. Thanks.
Good luck to both of you in all your endeavours.
Kennedy Malloy. Scott Pape next.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's going to be a beauty. Anjay, I'm Avlay Uye.
Avagod, Yivigu, Avagod, Siri, Rivigus, Wavagod, Avagod, Swivigus. Okay, I'm not going to speak like that anymore.
We are done. Hey, guess who's coming up? A good friend of the show. I'll introduce you in a sec. We're going to talk K-pop.
Now, you've put me onto this.
Well,
you love your boy bands.
Well, I was in one.
I know you were.
And I could still be again. You never know. It's never
too late. That'd be a good
band. K-pop, the most popular band have addressed the United Nations. We might play you a bit.
Okay, cool.
There's a national anthem going around, which I think is a ripper, which you've hoed into. It's a 7-year-old girl, and you did nothing.
You think she's good. I say, good at a school concert, but not on the world stage.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to see if we can play it before we go. It's something on Tiger Woods, you know, who won the other day.
Yes.
And it's from all the people who dissed him. And it's something amazing. Yeah.
Very good. And I can tell a personal Tiger Woods story. Yeah.
That sounds good.
I was in the room.
Okay.
Hey, all that, but let's start at the top with the big guy.
A lot of Australians trust Scott Pape as our financial voice of reason.
Obviously with Super, it's going to be your second biggest asset, and the less they take, the more you make.
So we were a bit surprised when he offered this financial advice.
Hop the farm, hop the house, put everything you own into Mick Coin. Everyone's talking about it.
And the hopeless romantics amongst us were stunned when he dropped this ball.
Engagement rings.
Mm-hmm. Gold gum tree.
Oh, no.
Gold.
Hey, I'm drawing the line there.
This is a wise decision, honey.
Good luck with that marriage.
Please welcome the barefoot investor, Scott Pape.
Came down on party lines, that one, didn't it?
I didn't mean to be rude about your marriage, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Well, your marriage is rock solid. Do you know why? Because you're a good catch.
You are a good catch.
You're a sensible young man.
Thank you.
You dress well. You present beautifully.
Thank you.
And you know how to wrangle the finances, which I think is a skill only a couple of us have.
I was wondering where you were going to come into it.
Because most men, let themselves down in that department. Yes. But I know where every penny is. Mm. And
is it in this country? I hope so.
Hey, congrats on the new book, which I believe is number 2.
Yes.
This has literally been out for how many days?
Today.
So today.
It's on the Amazon number 2.
Amazon number 2. It will go to number 1 like your last book, which is a triumph. Number 2, what's number 1?
Number 1 is my last book, Barefoot Investor.
Oh, You're our J.K. Rowling, aren't you?
Something
can
like
I ask
that.
You to do something for me?
Yes.
Would you mind signing this copy for me?
Yes, sure.
I just did there, Jane? I made money.
You're not going to sell it.
That book, I am.
Don't sell it. Right, dear Mick Malloy.
Yeah.
No, Dad.
There you go. Now you can't sell it.
I've just made money off paper.
How did you
book.
Make money off it, though?
Well, I'm going to sell it downstairs to a homeless guy and say, improve your life.
That same person Mick. Took Jane's phone.
Hey,
There it is. Thanks, Papey. Papey.
This book is so...
Close to eBay, he's put it.
Let's talk about the book, The Barefoot Investor for Families. Yes. Mick was asking me whether it's a kid's book and for kids to read. Yep. I'd say eventually it is, but probably it's helpful that the parents read it first, yeah?
It's I dedicated it to anyone who read my last book and said, why didn't I know this when I was a kid? So it's the idea that it's for parents and grandparents to actually sit down with their kids and teach them all the stuff that they wish that they had learnt when they were growing up.
Yep. Is it like a letter to your younger self or something, is it?
I wouldn't go that far.
Just trying to put a bit of mayo on it.
Basically, in the last book, I had this thing called Barefoot Date Nights where basically the person reading the book was really interested in money. The person sitting on the couch watching the footy was not interested in money. So I said, here's what we're going to do to the reader. What we're going to do is you're going to take them to the pub, you're going to get them on the sauce, and then you're going to ambush them. We're going to talk finance. And so with this book,
Feel free to ambush me any time between now and 7.
But that big conversation between couples, for example.
Yes. It goes better when you've got a bit of booze and you've got some food and you're in a you're in a pub.
I can talk about it every night.
I've always said that when they deliver the budget, the treasurer should be half smashed. Yeah. That'd be a good look.
Maybe, but it is a serious subject. He is. But you've broken it down, and I think to some really easy steps.
Sure.
Would you like to explain the jam jar concept?
Yeah. So basically, most parents have tried paying pocket money at one time, and it basically just fizzles out. It never really lasts.
It doesn't.
And the reason is, I think, because if you look at it like a chore chart, right, it starts at the crack of dawn when they've got to, make their beds, and it goes right through the day until the end of the day where they've got to brush their teeth and whatever.
And clean the chimneys.
And that's, it's like,
or is that just
your kids are going to wear you down. There is no way you're going to do that. So my thing is 3-3-3, so it's three jobs that you can do even on a Sunday. It's three jam jars, and I can get into what the jam jars do, and then it's 3 minutes a week for the parents just to tick it off. So that's the idea. The other thing is, so you can't take your kids to the pub, although maybe you can.
I think you'll find you can.
This one is around a family dinner table, and basically you're sitting down with your kids on a Sunday night and you're teaching them about money, but you're not lecturing them, you're giving them experiences. So it could be that you blend your credit card in front of your kids and say, this is why we don't do credit cards. Show them your statements.
Cut it up.
Or blend it.
Oh, blend it.
You can blend it.
Wow.
Just what do you mean, put it in a blender?
Yeah, just as a prop.
What's the most common? What's the most common mistake that parents make when trying to educate their children into the ways of how to take the first steps into the world of finance?
The biggest mistake is that they actually don't sit down and talk to their kids. They just want to shelter them. They don't want to corrupt them. My view is it's not about corrupting them. It's about sitting down and showing them how to adult.
Should you get them a part-time job or let them study?
At age 15, my view is that if they don't go out and get a part-time job, they should not be allowed to graduate from high school because they haven't done that subject. They need to get a job, preferably over a sweaty grill that gives them acne, preferably with a boss that's a hard ass. I mean, you've got kids there, right? So the first thing they have to do is they have to sell themselves to their boss. That's the first thing. A 15-year-old has to sell themselves. Then they get the job, they have to hang out with people they ordinarily wouldn't. Then they have to set up bank accounts, super in some instances.
Yep.
They have to learn about tax. I mean, you should be paying.
I can't do any
Ronald
of that.
McDonald.
You should keep looking at Mick when you say this. But, Pavey, I just want to say one thing. I feel that there's a generation of mollycoddling parents going on, and they don't want to, that doesn't matter. I'll just give my kid $50.
Nah.
And I don't want them to have to go out and work. Yeah, it is sort of, it's all too hard for the parent to accept.
It's that idea that, with the jam jars, it's that I work and I get paid. And that is the life-changing link that some 35-year-olds that I've worked with haven't worked out.
Hold that thought. We're speaking to Scott Pope. The new book, The Barefoot Investor for Families,
I've got lots more
is going cocoa bananas already. We'll come back with more. Scott Pope.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Scott Pape is with us. New book released today, already number 2 on the Amazon list. It's called The Barefoot Investor for Families, and it's available also at all major bookstores.
Number 1 is his other book.
Yeah.
You're going all right, I guess.
Yep.
Hey, we're talking about families, and in particular, I suppose, adolescent kids and how to empower them with all the skills they need to go out eventually into the world. This is an interesting talking point. You say you have the cure for a spoiled brat. Breaking the brat. Is a chapter title. What does that entail?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that most parents are worried about is that we're living in the wealthiest time in history.
Yep.
We're living in one of the wealthiest countries on earth. And the thing that we're all worried about is that our kids are living very different lives to the ones that we did.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do you teach them that they've got it really good?
Yep.
Because you can lecture to them, but they don't really care because they've got nothing, they've got no context to it.
Yes.
You know, just because your childhood sucked, mine doesn't have to. You know, and so...
That's the answer to everything, really, isn't it?
What I try to do with these three jam jars, basically there's smile, splurge and give. So splurge is about just spending money because we don't want to raise a tight.
No, bus. That's it. Go down the racetrack.
That's stingy. Yep. Just have spend some money. Maybe not
any
the racetrack.
Any way you
want to
do it.
I want my five-year-old to make a mistake buying a toy car so he doesn't make a mistake when he's 25 and leases a BMW. You know, mistakes are how we learn.
Yes. Splurge. So they can spend that on anything they want. Yeah. That
we want them
fancy.
To make mistakes that they, and they, we don't want to tight us.
Well, what if they splurged and nutted it and got something of value? And
that's good.
But that's okay too.
Smile is about saving up for something so that you feel good. Even if it's a super soaker to terrorise your brother, that's fine.
It's an achievement to have, you know, it does, it is a good feeling, that you win, and then you go and buy it yourself.
It's a value. Actually saving is valuing. And,
in my house, it's a swear jar. But
the third one is give, and it's designed to break the bread. It's designed to say, even though we live in this fantastic community, Food Bank tells us that around about one in five kids turn up to school, their classmates, haven't had breakfast that day. So kids intricately understand hunger and it basically just allows them to understand that not everyone is as fortunate as them. Mm. And so really what I'm trying to do is raise kids that are aware and that
and not
rats.
Entitled.
Do you have to put the equal amount into each jar? Is that what you're saying? Or do you choose which jar you want to put money
there
into?
There is only one rule, and there's 3 minutes for parents, is to basically say the one rule is that some money goes in every jar. You can choose what it is.
Okay.
Right.
But again, if you engineer it right, which is what I've done, tried to do with the book, is that your kids should get a real buzz from actually helping out people, whether it be Meals on Wheels or helping people in your community.
I had a curious, when I was growing up, my father was in the Air Force and he did a very good job of educating us and doing everything, the basics. But when it came, he taught me the value of a dollar by the small things. If someone bought a Herald Sun, and another person in the family bought a Herald Sun, there'd be a household meeting about why we have two Herald Suns and why that's a colossal waste of money.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember driving around Frankston looking for a parking meter one day that still had time on it.
Is that right?
Because it was back in the day when petrol was a lot cheaper.
Exactly. It would have paid off. But along the way, and suddenly, there are lessons where you go, okay, well, that is a colossal waste.
Can I just say that there are things that your parents have said, like money doesn't grow on trees. Mm. Are we running a power factory? I wish my dad did run a power factory 25 years ago because life would be a lot different for me now if he did.
There's one thing too. You talk about the power of cash and coins.
Yes.
Because everything's so virtual now. And kids, you know, my kids have got accounts and it's just I transfer money to this, that, and no one sees any exchange. So they still don't visually see the money.
And kids are visual learners. So for me, my view is that you stick with jam jars because what you want to do is create a direct link to the more I work, the more I see the coins actually going up in that jar. Okay. And, you know, there are a lot of banks that would say that kids need to sign up to a school bank account. My view is that they're only doing that because they want to sign up to kids.
Why don't we take some calls? If you want to, if there's something you question or something about the book you'd like to ask, you can give us a call now and speak to the man himself.
When we come back too, I would like to go through the Barefoot 10. 10 points that your child should know before they leave home.
Yes.
This book is really interesting.
We're talking about is The Barefoot Investor for Families. If you would like to my copy, which is signed, give us a call now at $100. See what I did there?
Yes. Extortion.
And I'm putting it all in the splurge jar.
You're a very own Warren Buffett.
Okay. All right, more with Scott Pape after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Barefoot Investor is in the studio. Scott Pape, this is Kennedy Malloy.
I'm going to go through Scott's Barefoot 10. Scotty, can you just set this up for me?
So basically, everyone agrees that they want to give their kid the best chance in life, but no one really knows what that is. So what I did was to create 10 things that you can check off with your kid before they leave home, or 18, so that you know that if you've checked these 10 things off, you've basically given them, you've done your job.
All right.
Okay, let's go.
Them.
Yeah. One, opened a zero fee high interest savings account.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. You don't want to be paying bank fees.
Correct. Knock it off.
Bought and sold something secondhand.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's...
learn to cook at least 2 low-cost, delicious, nutritious meals from scratch.
Well, and that's getting the grandparents over so you don't do Uber Eats and that you actually have leftovers so that you don't blow all your money and you can spend it at the bar.
Yeah, and don't go through Whitney.
Volunteered in their local community.
Oh, again, that's the breaking
the
brat.
That's good, an one. Good one.
Saved you at least $100 on your household bills.
Yeah, so we've got this thing where basically if you want to get lower power bills, gas bills, you say to your kid, you do it, I'll pay you 50% commission.
So they have to look around and do some shopping.
Well, they negotiate and get a better deal.
Wow.
And
so unplug things that are not being used.
Well, no, they just negotiate with even car insurance and
so
stuff.
So into this.
And actually they save money and then it's better than a month of flipping burgers.
Shane's got to be working your little sweatshop.
I'm excited. Promise to never, ever get a credit card.
That's the blender.
Right, that's very important. Got a part-time job from age 25, at least, I imagine.
15.
There you go.
15. All right.
Earned at least 1 glowing reference from a boss.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Opened up an ultra-low-cost, high-growth super fund. Yeah,
wouldn't your life be different if you actually did that when you're 18?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And set up a savings account for a home deposit. So at least the millennials will ask.
At least they actually have one goal when they're out there. Because eventually you're going to buy a house. Most people will. At least you've got an account there. Every time you open up your internet banking, you see Tom's house deposit. Even if there's only a few bucks there, you've started something.
Papy, the calls are blowing up here. There's so many people with so many questions. Let's start with Michael. What would you like to ask guest Scott?
Hey, Mickey. Hey, Jane. Hey. Congratulations on the weekend, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Moving on. Papy, what I want to know, I've got 2 boys, 15 and 11, and the question about pocket money comes up. And what's a reasonable amount and what should we be expecting them to do in return for pocket money?
I think the reasonable thing is whatever you can afford. So I know that there are single parents that can't afford a lot.
Yep.
For me, it's not about the money. It's actually just a tool.
The commitment. Yeah. Saying this is means something.
But if there's a rule of thumb, it would be maybe $1 per age per week. So a 5-year-old will get $5 a week. Again, my view would be they would do 3 jobs. Yeah. But the other thing would be that they have to actually help put dinner on each night. So they either help set up the table, clear it away. They don't get paid for that. They just get to eat.
Like that one. Thanks, all Michael. Right. Hi, Lockie. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah, what's your question for Papy?
I'm 20 years old and just started a carpentry apprenticeship and wondering about taking out a loan for a car.
Look, I think that you should be, obviously you want to get a decent car and if it helps you get to work, but...
Yeah.
What are the traps involved?
Well,
in doing that?
You're obviously borrowing for something that falls in value and you're paying a high rate of interest. I wouldn't do, but...
Nothing depreciates in value quicker than a car.
Yeah.
And what percentage of what you're earning, should you...
Well...
We're talking about a loan. A loan for anything's a dangerous...
Less than the bank will lend you. But, for parents out there, my view is that it's financial child abuse to actually buy your kid a brand new car at age 18.
Really?
You should not do it.
Well, you better tell them those in a Double Bay and Toorak.
It doesn't help. You are harming your children. It is financial child abuse.
Jeez.
You should match it. Maybe get out of bed, flip some burgers, and I'll go you 50-50.
Okay.
50-50. All right.
First car's an XP Falcon.
Thanks, Lockie. Right. Hello, Rod.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, go ahead, Rod.
Yeah, just I'm just listening to that last comment about 50-50. I made the mistake of saying 50-50 to my daughter, so... She's 16. She got a job when she was 14. I said, I'd match you dollar for dollar.
Yes, and how'd you go?
So she saved near on $14,000.
There you go. So you actually needed to have the account as well. You had to start.
That's great, Rod.
But it makes your point.
Totally.
It's lesson learned.
That is the power of incentives. That is a good thing, but you just need to save yourself.
All right,
maybe get a job at a...
Rod's going to be
getting
a night shift at Woolies.
Okay, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, good. What's your question for Scott?
My children bought me his first book for a Christmas gift, and I just wanted to know what the difference between the two books now. I've now given my book as a gift back to my daughter, who's 20, who's obviously set up her ING account, and is saving like crazy and is now not wanting to spend anything. Yes. Even pretty bored. Yeah. But the difference in the two books, so if I go to get that, is there new things that she would benefit from?
Okay, thanks, yeah. Michelle.
So the
re-gifting, by the way, do you approve of that? Or
I probably
go
does.
It's very hard, given my first book was the only money guide you'll ever need. I'm kind of like the John Farnham of the book industry.
Yeah, careful of your titles from now on.
But this one is aimed, again, at kids. So it's dedicated to anyone who read my last book and said, why wasn't I taught this when I was a kid? Yeah. So it is a book for kids. It's for families and parents to empower them to teach these lessons over the family dinner table.
Chris, you got a question for Papy?
Yeah, comment really. Mick and Jane and Scott, we had quite a large money tin and we just started putting one and two dollar coins in it. And it was so big, my wife said, oh, you'll never fill it up. Eventually we did fill it up, and it was about $10,000.
Wow.
And one of those ones you can't see through, so we didn't really know when it was full or when it was close. It just, one day it couldn't fit anymore, and we decided we'd go on a holiday, so off we did.
That's brilliant, Chris.
I used to have a bowl like that, and because I was a classic come home after a big night, or yep. Hey, been at the pub.
Jingle,
and
jingle. Then,
you come home with 30 bucks in your pocket.
Yeah.
But see, now I just tap and go, and I've got no...
No, you've got no
nothing.
Coins.
I've got no coins. I can't even help out.
Oh, you can't get mixed lollies. What's going on?
I don't know whether that's a money management principle or not.
I wouldn't even worry.
It's only a false, go fan.
That is a false economy.
We'll finish up the calls with Tony. How are you, Tony?
Time for one more.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Go ahead, Tony.
I'd just like to say, Scott, you're so switched on and you're so correct. That is awesome, bro. That is like... We make life too hard, and we sort of baby our kids, but you were on the ball, mate.
All right.
Good on you, Tony.
Do you mind if we put that quote on the cover of Papy's next book?
Yeah, that's
you're on the ball, mate.
You do. You are on the ball, and you are so switched on.
I've got some good news for all our callers, by the way. You're all getting a copy of Scott's new book, The Barefoot Investor of the Family. So, there you go,
you're
Tony.
A champion. You are a champion.
Good on you, Tony.
Keep doing what you're doing because you are, like, switched on big time.
Okay.
He is.
Thank you.
Good on you, Tony.
That was Terry McCrann.
He'll get some tips from you. Hey, look, we wish you
good
so
you,
much
mate.
Luck. It's
Thank
a
you
great,
guys.
Practical,
appreciate you having me on.
Really good book. Cheers, well done.
Scott Pape there.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Me and Papey together, it's like having two colossuses of the financial world.
Two Warren Buffetts together, isn't it?
No, Warren Buffet. Yes.
Didn't cross my mind.
Oh, Dave,
that,
you're so silly.
I haven't thought about that before, you and...
Who would you rather take advice from?
Scott Pape.
Yeah.
Really? No competition.
People, how excited do people get? And our phones blew off.
Unbelievable.
We'll have Scotty back. Sorry if you can, don't worry about that.
It is really good advice. Mm. That's all I can say. So.
It's not fussy. It's just really tried and true. Love it. Hey, everyone was very excited around the world, as I was. I was talking about this. Tiger Woods winning.
I watched this live.
And I was thinking about this. I'm just going to say it because I heard that guy, honestly, he's had it rough.
Yeah.
He's really had it done. Mm. And I think he didn't murder anyone. He's just had a colourful...
He nearly got murdered himself.
He nearly got murdered.
He nearly got done by... Done
but he's
by,
had a very colourful life
recently. Well, he's not going to die wondering.
No, he's not going to die wondering, but that's his personal...
That's his business.
Mm-hmm. It's his business, but he's always been a freak golfer.
Well, they'd say him and Jack Nicklaus, isn't it? He's the two, and there's a strong schools that suggest he is the greatest of all time.
Well, and I remember when seeing him when he was a little kid, even, when he was a five-year-old.
Right,
remember seeing that footage with his dad? It's just freaking.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people who didn't think that he could come back.
Well, they'd written him off. So he's 5 years without a win on the tour, four back operations. Oh. Some of which...
And a bit of psychological...
Even as late as a year ago, I think he was pulled up with his car swerving with five different...
On prescription drugs, I think.
It's been a tough road, and he's back.
And he's won, and it's spectacular. The crowd loved it. But this is very interesting. Here's a clip. They got Tiger in a room with an iPad to have a listen to what some of the commentators have said about his potential comeback.
Can Tiger Woods compete with the Justin Thomases, Jordan Spieths, Dustin Johnsons?
No, is the short answer.
We get this question a lot. Do you think he'll return to his previous form?
No.
Do you think he stands a chance of being the Tiger Woods we once knew?
No.
No. Here's what's going to happen.
He is not ever going to win another tournament.
I don't think we'll ever see Tiger Woods win a golf tournament again.
He's showing up at these tournaments pretty much knowing that he's not going to be there.
The short game is gone. His health is gone.
The next press release Tiger Woods should release should be, I'm retiring.
I have considered him now for the last 5-6 years a former golfer.
You're washed. Just give up while you're ahead. Retire with some dignity.
Tiger Woods that we all knew, he will never, ever be that guy again.
So Tiger is watching that whole thing as people do that.
And
so
when you go to champ, that's what you get. And no one likes a comeback, do they?
No.
Sporting comeback is the greatest thing of all
time.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Because it usually involves kind of repentance and all that stuff and a big fall or some kind of tragedy in your
personal
life.
You've been waiting for this. You've been champing at the bit because he's been so close.
It's not done yet. He has to win a major. Mm. When he wins a major.
He has to get that jacket back on.
But he's on my list of people whose lifestyle I admire. It's him, it's David Beckham, Leonardo DiCaprio. All for different reasons.
Do you know what I love about you? You're so surprising.
Did you know, by the way, and I may have told this story before, but I was way onto Tiger Woods and his shenanigans before anyone else was.
No, I did not know. Really. Why?
So, when Tiger Woods was flying and he was a family-friendly figure and Nike's poster boy and he was the most bankable star in the world, a girlfriend of mine, a French girl, used to work at a hotel in Atlanta. Now, she used to work there and they have a lot of all the big sporting groups, whether they were baseball teams or NFL teams or basketball teams, and everyone used to come and stay at that hotel.
Okay.
And she turned to me one day and she said, the biggest in-house porn villain she'd ever seen was Tiger Woods.
Really?
So I go around telling all my friends, I've got some inside. Apparently, he's watching pornos. So my friends started, that was their preparation.
they thought that would make them play golf better.
Well, everyone doubted me. Everyone goes, you're an idiot. That's the worst show I've ever seen.
Yeah, as if,
so
Tiger.
So when the story finally broke.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, was I on the receiving end of, we'll never doubt you again, Mickey. First with the news, Mickey.
You're a soothsayer. Is that what you're called? Good on you.
All right. Well done.
Your new way to drive home. Malloy.
Well, thanks to Crossway Barbecues, it's the smarter, easier way to barbecue.
Well, if you had a Crossway Barbecue already at your house, you wouldn't have burnt the sausage rolls in the oven.
That is dead right. Because although you would have still had to have given me the bum steer.
I maintain I did not give you a bum steer by saying put sausage rolls on for 12 minutes at 180 degrees.
Can I just say something? Why? Can I just put one of these in my kitchen?
I don't think you can.
Why not?
Because it might cause a fire.
All right. Well, why don't I take the roof off my kitchen?
No, why don't you put
take everything out of the kitchen and then just put the Crossray barbecue in the middle of the kitchen, pretend I'm outdoors and cook with that.
You could do that. Or you could put it on your balcony.
You can bake a cake with this thing.
You can because, and it's got all different temperatures. You can change the temperature so you don't burn things.
Can you?
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what it would have done?
What?
It would have changed to its high-intensity infrared burner when I put the...
Well, that's genius.
When I put the sausage rolls in, and it would have gone, danger, danger.
Well, it would have, there would have been alarms.
Would have talked to itself.
Someone would have jumped out from the middle of the barbecue.
Dealing with a master chef, readjust.
But you know what you need?
Collaborate.
You've got to get a two burner on your balcony there.
I'm going to get a four burner.
No, you just got the two.
Well, I want four.
He wants four. He wants the whole shebang.
Pardon me, you made
They're such a good looking unit.
Put those on my balcony, couldn't I?
And they come with accessories like a vinyl cover.
And if I put it on the front balcony, chicks will see me cooking with it and go, ho-ho.
Please make sure you're wearing clothes, though, when you do that. Okay?
I can't guarantee that, Jane. I can't guarantee it. I'll be wearing a, what do you call it?
A little apron. A little French apron.
A little apron. Come on. Sort out the chef.
All right. Well, we thank Crossray.
Hey, well done, Crossray.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Even, can it take the poison out? Like if Whitney's...
Listen,
probably can.
If you could...
You are in trouble.
Identify that...
Yeah, I think it can. Infrared.
Kennedy Malloy.
Whitney has gone mad.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, by the way, the pictures of those horrific sausage rolls that copped a whooping last night at Mick's Place on Instagram at Kennedy Malloy.
It's a work of art. It's like a Damien Hirst
piece. How
did
you do that, by the way? That's unbelievable.
Who puts the griller on?
I was told, just put it on 180 for 12 minutes.
Well, who puts a griller on when you're trying to warm something
up? How do you know it's the griller?
Well, because you said it smoke filled the oven and you... Yeah, set the
I know,
fire
but
alarm
how do you
off?
Know the grill is on before the smoke arrives?
Because
aha, yes, check,
most
check,
people,
mate,
3-year-old know how to use an oven.
I knew it was hot up the top.
Didn't you burn your? Didn't you burn your?
I burned the tips of my fingers putting alfoil into the tray, which was already had already been in the oven.
That's the bit that I think is so adorable, that you actually put alfoil on the baking tray so as not to make a mess. Yeah. In the meantime, you nearly burnt the house.
You know,
down.
You were talking about how things are out of date in kitchens and things like that. Yes. Arthur's on the phone. Do you want to take Arthur's call?
Sure. Hi, Arthur.
G'day, Joan, Mick, how are we going?
You find anything out of date?
I actually used some cheesy mite, which was a year out of date. And
a year out of date is pretty good, Mick, but I'm a child of the 60s, and back in those days, Mum would do a bit of baking and send you off to school with a, you know, a cut lunch and a cupcakes and all that sort of stuff in your lunch.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, cleaned out her kitchen, and she had two packets of cake mix.
Yep.
Both of them. Pounds, shillings.
Give it to him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, good news, Arthur. You're on the standby list to fly to Hollywood to see Slash play.
Was that 1966?
Thanks very much, guys.
What was the song?
66, wasn't it?
66, yeah. That there was is a song unbelievable. About it.
Pounds and shillings. My God. That's going pretty well. Hey, what kind of cake was it? Like a apple
a
blossom?
Cake.
An apple blossom?
I don't know. A tea cake it would have been with cinnamon on top.
Oh. Yeah, come on. Can someone cook me something tonight? I'm feeling hungry again.
Poor Mickey.
Just be very careful with what you eat, Nick.
Charlie Pickering to join us tomorrow. Grab the podcast, Kennedy Malloy.
Bye, Buffalo.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy. See the Barbie everyone's singing about. Crossray Barbecues. Crossray.com.au.